I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We've been telling you about the threat facing the Yazidi people of Iraq. There are around 500,000 in that country, or there were. Tens of thousands of them are on the run from the militants of the Islamic State, some still on Mount Sinjar. There is also a large community of Yazidis, the largest in the U.S., in Lincoln, Nebraska. Julie Khalaf is part of that community, and that's where she's been following the news of her people back in Iraq. I started by asking Julie how her family in Lincoln is dealing with the news.
They have put their life on the back burner, and they have been robbed of their livelihood. All they do now is just do meetings, do rallies, try to talk to the people back at home and try to see if the situation is getting any better.
And when you say robbed of their livelihood, we're talking the Yazidi community in Lincoln. Are they just so upset by what's going on in Iraq that they can't even go to work?
Some of them have quit their job. Some of them, when they do go to their job, anybody who talks to them, they just break down and cry. And some of them are so busy just texting and trying to connect with their family that they cannot focus at work. And, yeah.
And you're a teacher. And how's it affecting you personally right now? Can you kind of concentrate?
I concentrate more than others because I feel like there's more that we, Yazidi community over here, could do. And I'm just busy trying to arrange the next meeting, talk to the next humanitarian organization. So it's like I have few goals ahead of me, and that helps me deal with it. Otherwise, I would just be among all the others, just home, weeping over all that has happened, crying, and just be overwhelmed by all the responsibility we, the community here in Lincoln, are faced with, because we are the Yazidis' voices right now.
What is the latest that you've heard from your relatives, many of whom were stranded on top of the mountain?
A large number of them have made the 18-hour journey into Syria. But once they make it into Syria border, the facing the death and horrific conditions don't end. They get into Syria after 18 hours of walking. And from there, they're packed into pickup trucks and whatever as if they're sardines. And then they have to go 3 more hours to get back into Iraq, into Zaho. But even there, whether it's Zaho or it's Duhok, their condition does not get any better. One of my relatives has made it to Duhok, and he says there's 700 of them now in a school. They're not getting any humanitarian aid, and they're not getting any kind of help.
So what goes through your mind when you hear about those conditions?
Me as an American, I worry that the humanitarian aid from here, the taxes and all that is going and helping, not the people who need help.
You're seeing it as going to the Peshmerga or whatever else it's going to, but not to the Yazidis.
It might be helping some of them, but a lot of them are not getting help, because even my aunt, who has finally gotten out of the being trapped inside Sinjar, has made it to a nearby refugee camp area in Zaho, and they supposedly live in camps and such, but it's basically a sheet of, I don't know what to call it, fabric or something like that, a flimsy thing.
Like a tarp.
Held by, exactly, they call that shelter. And then there's a lot of people who get from this mountain situation dehydrated, sick, shocked, broken legs, injury here and there, and they are seen maybe the first time, but there is no follow-up medical help. And then that's the mountain is one thing. Then there is the women who are held as hostage. We have person over here in Lincoln who talks to his sister, who's among the hundreds of people who are held hostage. She has managed to smuggle a phone with her, and she's talking about how they're right now dividing us into groups of young boys, elderly women, and then women. And I don't know what they're going to do with us. Another relative tells me, your women are being sold as merchandise for 250 dinars. And then there is the town of Kocho. It has 400 families, that's the estimate, about 5,000 people, 4,000 to 5,000. And they're telling them, convert now or you're going to be killed.
You grew up in a refugee camp in Syria, so you know what those people are going through. It's not fun. It's roughing it when you don't want to be roughing it.
It's actually, for me, where I lived compared to what they're living in, mine is kind of almost a good life. It was good life.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Just remind us who the Yazidis are and why ISIS is targeting them, Julie.
ISIS people see Yazidis as apostates. They see them as devil worshippers. We see it, our teachings tell us it's one of the oldest religion. It has some ties to Zoroastrianism, and we believe in God and seven angels. I do not know too much about my religion, unfortunately, because just like all the other Yazidis, throughout our history, we have been persecuted. We have had to try to blend in and not bring attention to ourselves.
But you identify as Yazidi, right?
I identify, yes.
And you're American, and you're Yazidi. You lived in Iraq for a while. Did you? Do you remember feeling different from other Iraqis because you were Yazidi?
I was 4 years old when we ran away and fled from Iraq to Syria. And I spent basically my childhood in Syrian refugee camps. I remember they would force us to read the Quran, and then when we would try to leave the class, at least that Quran class, sometimes we would get beating. And even though I was one of the top students, my grades would always be lower. This was in an elementary school. And then in middle school, if you did not take the Quran class, you would not pass. And yeah, sometimes I would wish that I was different religion because of that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really curious, Julie, what the concept of home means to you. And is Lincoln home because of those families there, or just it will never feel that way?
Lincoln is home, but right now we're trying to help all the Yazidis get out of Iraq, because Middle East is no longer place for Yazidis. But if we were never to go back there, it's like we're cut off our roots. And we don't want any Yazidis in Middle East. Middle East has proved that they cannot. They don't tolerate minorities, and minorities cannot survive among them. So we don't want any of them to be left there. But if we are not without Iraq, we feel like cut off our identity, and it's just really saddening.
Julie Khalaf, a Yazidi who lives in Lincoln, Nebraska, thanks very much for speaking with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.